Let us then turn in God's Word to Mark chapter 5. We'll be looking at the first 20 verses of our text as we consider this miracle of Jesus, the man whose name, according at least to the demons, is Legion. And we want to take a look at the power of our Savior and understand that that far exceeds any power of this earth. So let us read together the word of Almighty God. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, no, not even with chains. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine, that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you, and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Thus far the reading of God's Word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we open God's Word this morning, we see Jesus doing a miracle. And I want to take just a couple of moments to consider what miracles are, and specifically what Jesus is doing in miracles. Jesus in miracles is freeing mankind from the effects of God's curse. Miracles are there, especially in the early church, in the apostolic church, to demonstrate that this is the Word of God being preached. Nowadays, you get the Bible. You can check me against this. I don't need to be doing miracles. In fact, miracles stopped, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14. And so, brothers and sisters, those are there. Jesus does these things to draw attention to their teaching, to his teaching. The disciples as well did miracles for that purpose. And Jesus complains when they follow after him for the miracles and not for the gospel. And so Jesus is here again releasing this man from the torment of the devil. He is giving rest from the torment of thousands of demons. On the other hand, we have those around about who are being disobedient to God's commands by keeping hogs, which were unclean at that time. And they were very angry. But on the other hand, we have the demoniac, the man who is demon-possessed, rejoicing to tell of Jesus' power. Again, Jesus is demonstrating that He has bound Satan, that He has bound the strong man. And so the theme that we want to see as we look at God's Word this morning is a legion of demons cower before our Lord. A legion of demons cower before our Lord. Verses 1 through 5, we see that the legions of demons know and fear the Lord. In verses 6 through 13, we see that Jesus cast the demons into the swine, killing the swine. I noticed that killing them, and I'm not certain on the what that's referring to. It is killing the swine. It doesn't kill the demons, unfortunately. And then we read in verses 14 through 20 that the free man spreads the tidings of Jesus' power. So first of all, the legion of demons know and fear the Lord. We have this demoniac among the tombs, dwelling not among people, but far away from the people in the wilderness, alone, further making himself prey for these demons. He's dwelling among the tombs, which are an unclean place for the Israelites. Perhaps the demons were building up their reputation that the spirits of the dead had joined them in this living man, which is, of course, not possible. But this is the stuff of horror films. And yet at that same time, we have this going on earth. And furthermore, we continue here, no one could bind him. He had often been bound with shackles and chains. And what do we read? The chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles broke in pieces. Now let's think about that for a second. Think about the power of these demons. These are spirits and yet they have an effect on the physical world. And they have a very powerful effect. He's driven out, we're told. He is among the mountains, verse 5, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Let's look at that fact too. Cutting himself, hurting himself. God heals us. The devil causes us to hurt ourselves. Remember Elijah and the priests of Baal on Mount Carmel, 1 Corinthians 18:28. So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out on them. We have this horror film going on here in real life. And we have Jesus coming onto the scene, of course. When he saw Jesus, verse 6, what happened? From afar he ran and worshipped him. Jesus cast the demon into the swine, killing them. The demons worship. Now, of course, this is not true worship. But despite the fact that they are Christ's and our enemies, they recognize Him as God. They must bow before Him. Cf. also Job chapter 1. As we said, see the power of the demons. No one could bind him. Let's see the power of the Savior. When we fear what man can do to us, when we fear demons, whatever it is, they're nothing before God. They try to fight. We're going to see that as we continue in the passage. But they must bow before Him. They realize that Christ is the final judge. And they're not certain whether or not He's here to cast them immediately into hell. We read in verse 7, I implore you by God that you do not torment me. He said, it's not time yet for you to come and destroy us. The end's not here yet. So don't torment me. But Jesus casts them out of this man. for he had said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Jesus cast the demons out. He spent some time talking to them, apparently. Said to him, "What's your name?" He answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now, what is a legion? It's a group of soldiers. I had this false idea when I started studying this that a group of it was 1,000 soldiers. A legion, a Roman legion, was 6,000 or 12,500 soldiers. This set of demons compare themselves to that sort of groups. That is a lot of demons. They are a legion. Notice as well that they're unified. They speak together with one voice. Now, the demons are united in fighting against Jesus. We are told that our battles are against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age. But brothers and sisters, the battle's won. The demons don't have anything that they can say against Jesus. And so we need to face these things on. This isn't something that's just fantasy. We live in a world that has many of these going around. But Jesus says, and James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We don't need to fear him. And so these demons speaking to Jesus ask that they would not be sent out of the country. I think some of that is because they've already had good effect from their perspective in this area. They know what these people fear, and they want to use it against them. And so they ask to be cast into the swine. And Jesus allows them. Now let's look at that. What's going on here. Now what are swine? They're unclean at this time. Any Jew knows this. The keepers of these swine were making their money off of that which was forbidden by God. Which is just to demonstrate that God forbids the Jews from eating pork. Just as a demonstration to me that God really didn't like the Jews all that much. I like pork too much. But anyway, God's food and ceremonial laws were there to protect the Israelites from disease in a manner that wasn't understood by man at that time. But yeah, God protected Israelites, but I tell you what, I like a good pork roast. I get like beef too, but you know, I like a little variety there. And we're told in Leviticus 11 verses 7 and 8, that the swine is unclean to you, their flesh you shall not eat, their carcasses you shall not touch, they are unclean. And so for Jews to be raising swine at this point in history was a rebellion against God. And Jesus says, yeah, go in the swine. And the demons destroy the swine. They cause them to run headlong down the hill into the sea. They drown. I want to take just a thought on this. Notice that even this legion of demons is restrained by God from destroying this demoniac. They would have had the same effect on him if God would not have restrained the sin from its worst. And we see that throughout the world. God restrains sin in every human being. Otherwise, the world would be far, far worse than it really is. And so God restrains these demons from destroying this man. Upon being released to the swine, they immediately drown them. Satan's final effect on all of those he controls, is all unbelievers, is their destruction. Following Satan's ways brings us to utter destruction. But on the other hand, we read this passage, and perhaps running through the back of our minds is somebody called PETA. 2,000 swine? 2,000 hogs? I think we need to get this straight. Better one person released from the power of sin than the lives of 2,000 pigs. Far better to release one person from the power of sin, the power of Satan. While animals are God's creations, we're not in Disney World. Animals are not people too. While we are not to be cruel to animals if we're able, they are not created in God's image with that dignity, and having roast beef for dinner is a proper use of God's creation. But the demons, in doing this, are subtly striking out against Jesus. They seek to drive a wedge between the saving, healing power of Jesus and those around about who made their money out of these swine. And then we need to see the tidings of Jesus' power. The freed man spreads the tidings of Jesus' power. The swine keepers bring the news in the country and in the city. And the people come out, but I think we need to notice that the swine keepers had it right. It was the rest of the people that had a problem. Notice, as the people come out, what is the first thing they see? Then they came to Jesus and saw, verse 15, the one who had been demon-possessed. This is what the swine keepers were telling about. This guy, this legion of demons, he's been freed. Whoa! Unbelievable! And the people come out for the purpose of seeing that. Sitting, clothed in his right mind. They feared at this fact. And those who saw it told it how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed. And those last four words and about the swine, and then everybody's mind goes over here. How often doesn't that happen? When something glorious, when something wonderful happens, we're focused on that, and then something problematic on this earth happens, and we're like, whoop, over there. Instead of right where we need to be, seeing the power, the awe of our Savior. The people fear at this ex-demoniac in his right mind. And yet, where do they go? Having seen that also the pigs were dead, they desire that Jesus leave. The demons had done their work well. They drove a wedge between Jesus and the people. The demons want to stay around, and the people want Jesus to leave. I think we got the wrong thing going on here. They would rather keep and have a demoniac, a horror show going on in their backyard, than to lose their livelihoods. And we must be very careful of this attitude. Do we have pet sins that we keep around because we like them? Jesus said, cut off your hand, pluck out your eye in Matthew 5:29, Matthew 18:9. Rather than go to hell because of some stupid sin we like. So we have the demons have tried to do their best to drive a wedge between Jesus and the people. And we have in these last verses, Jesus gets the last word in. The ex-demoniac glorifies his Savior. Now he wants to go with Jesus, get out of here. He's had a pretty bad history around that area. Doesn't want other people to spend their time looking at a bodily. Man, that guy's weird. He used to have a bunch of demons. Wow. But Jesus says, you have a place. Go home to your friends. Tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He has had compassion on you. Jesus leaves himself a witness. The continuing witness of this man everybody knew about. This horror show that we've talked about as someone who had been cleansed, who had been saved, And he went out and he told everyone, and he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis in all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Yes, the demons wanted to have a little bit of ability to stay around. The witness of one who has been saved is far better, far more powerful than all of these demons. And brothers and sisters, we need to see that, and we need to live that. And we need to witness, not by beating people over the head, you got to hear the gospel, but look what God did for me. A sinner. A sinner who was on his way to hell. We need to fully and readily be prepared to confess our sins. So often we like that whitewash brush that says, I was just fine, God just give me a little help. No, I was a sinner on the way to hell. And I fully need to admit that to myself and to all around me. And God didn't just give me a lift. God took me out of hell and gave me eternal life, eternal glory. And everything is right with Him. Even when I fail again and again, continuing, I'm right before God because of what Jesus did. Not because I'm good, because I'm not. And so often people say, I'm okay. No. Of myself, I'm not okay. And when we look at this demoniac, when we see the power of Jesus, we don't need to fear angels, principalities, powers, the ruler of the darkness of this age. We don't need to fear that. We need to truly trust in Jesus Christ, who is far more powerful than any one of these things. He is God. God rules over all things. No creature, including demons, can move without His will. And so we live upon this earth with great confidence, not in ourselves, but in God and in our Savior, that nothing shall separate us from His love. Amen. Let us bow our heads and our hearts before the throne of grace, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty and most gracious Heavenly Father, we stand in awe before Your holy throne. We pray that we might truly remember the power of our Savior over everything that exalts itself against You. We thank You that we need not fear man, that we need not fear demons, that we need not fear Satan. For Christ has won the victory. And He has won it not by just a little bit, but He has won it fully, and that He freely gives us the victory. And so, Lord, we pray that when we struggle, that these things fight against us, yet, O Lord, we know that we are to resist the devil and he will flee from us. And so, Lord, we pray that we might live as those who have the victory in Jesus Christ, that we might live knowing the wonders of Your grace to us. And we pray, O Lord, that we might truly rejoice in what He has purchased for us, both on this earth and eternally. The wonders of Your free, undeserved favor of Your grace to us in Christ Jesus. For we pray these things, praying in Jesus' name, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.